Good to be with you this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth today. It's interesting because on many occasions, someone will ask me, especially my wife as we drive here, what are you preaching on? And I'll say, the Bible. Can't go wrong with that now, can you? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to begin there this morning. I'm glad you're here. And hopefully we look at some lessons from the Bible. And oftentimes you want a title to the lesson. So if you want to put a title to this lesson, I'll have this right here. God cares. I think we would agree with that. Do we? God cares. Do we? And before we go into our lesson, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. You should be there at this time, beginning in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, yes, and all of you be in submission one to another, be clothed with humility. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares. Now the question we're going to ask ourselves as we look at this, do we? Do we care as much as he cares for us? So let's go into our lesson immediately this morning. When we talk about God cares about our soul. I think we all would agree with that. In fact, if it wasn't for his care for our soul, we wouldn't be here this morning. And I'm going to share with you passages you already know, but it's good for us to refresh our memories. It's something to remind ourselves how important that is, that God does care for our soul, because if he didn't, we'd be eternally lost. So let's look at some passages that God cares for our soul. Probably the most familiar one by all of mankind is in John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You probably can quote it, or at least you can quote 16. I don't know how many people have taken time to quote verse 17, but in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. And I always tie 17 to 16, and I'll show you why in a minute. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, you would agree with me that God wants everybody in the world to be saved. But look at the end of verse 17, that they might be saved. So there's going to be a focus upon us, too, when we talk about God cares. That's going to be the do we section. God cares that he sent his Son for whom? For every human being that is in the world. All right, let's go to another passage in Romans chapter 5. This causes it to become even more interesting because he showed his care to us when really we didn't deserve it. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want to stop here. You see that word ungodly? That would have included you and I. It goes on, for scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to stop at verse 8. Would you agree that this shows that God cares? He cares for people who didn't even care for themselves. Let's go on. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we shall also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So when we talk about our soul, which is the part of us that lasts forever, God cared about our soul. He cared so much about our soul that he sent his Son to die for us. He cared so much about our soul that he sent his Son to people who didn't deserve it. God cares. There's no doubt. Now, again, whether or not we care, we'll see that in a moment. But God does care about your soul, my soul, and every other soul upon this earth at this time. God cares. Let's go to another passage. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We have recorded for us here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So again, what do we have? God cares. What was required for that care? His Son. More specifically, the blood of His Son. I want to stop here for a moment. Do you think people really pay attention to that? Or do they just go live their lives nonchalantly, not paying? And I'm talking about religious people now. How sad that is, isn't it? When we can see the deplorable condition that we were in, that God sent His Son because only His Son's blood would be the remedy for that sin. And why did He do that? Because He cares for you. He cares for me. Let's go to another passage. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14, I love this passage. Giving thanks to the Father who hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, and whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now go back to verse 12. Look back at verse 12, if you will. And on verse 12, what we have here, as you look specifically in New King James Version, it tells us God qualified us. I want to understand. I would be unable to qualify myself. You would be unable to qualify yourself. My shed blood wouldn't have done it. Your shed blood wouldn't have done it. It took the blood of His Son, the precious blood of Jesus, that qualifies us to have a relationship with Him, that qualifies us to have the safety for our soul. But like I say, we often don't think about our soul. We think about temporal things, things that we can see. I can't see my soul, but that's the part of me that's going to last forever. My soul was condemned to hell, but God cares, and He sent His Son to die for us. But let's just add a few more passages to that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so interesting how the Bible clearly points this out to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 18 through 21. Again, remember, God cares about your soul. He cares about my soul. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Now I want to stop. Look at verse 19. What if we took Christ out of the picture? In verse 19, if you whited out Christ, there was no Christ. Would there have been reconciliation? No. Who provided Christ to us? The Father. Why? Because He cares about your soul. He cares about my soul. He allowed His Son to die that cruel death. But let's go on, verse 19. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God, and I love this passage, as though God were pleading through us. Paul is saying, God is pleading through us, the apostles. He's pleading through us. What is He pleading? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So even though He sent His Son to be the means for reconciliation, a lot of people don't choose that. We've got to choose to be... Now, God cares, and Jesus died for everyone. His blood is available to everyone. But not everyone will be reconciled. Remember John 3:17? He gave them the right to become sons of God. God cares about everybody. But in verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That Jesus became what? Sin for us. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? You remember one of the statements he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My understanding of that phrase is that's where he became our sin sacrifice. And in such, guess what? He could not have fellowship with God at that moment. That was the one and only time he could not have fellowship with God, because guess what? God cannot have fellowship with what? Sin. And Jesus became our sin. What a wonderful thing he and his son has done for us. But it says, be reconciled to God. You see, that brings us into the point too. Do we care? Be reconciled. Do we care about our soul? And quite frankly, in my observation, including religious people, we really don't. We really don't. We have more care about the things of this world than we do our soul. And yet the most precious thing you will ever, ever have is your soul. We care about our looks. Go research how much money is spent so that we can take care of our looks. We care of our outward appearance. Nothing wrong, but that's all temporary. We care about the homes we live in. But it's sad that we really don't care about our soul as we should. God cares. He sent his precious son to die for us. Do we? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 16. In verse 26, we have recorded for us here, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I want to stop here. Are there going to be a lot of people that lose their own soul? My next question. Is that because God didn't care? Or is that because we as human beings don't care? It's the latter, isn't it? If I am forever lost, if my soul is forever in condemnation, it's not that God didn't care. He sent his son. He gave us his word. He cares. It's that we just don't pay attention to our soul. We put it off. How sad that is. The most important thing we have in our being is our soul, and we put it off in our relationship to God. God cares, but ask the question, do we? How many in Matthew 16, 26, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I think you would agree with me. It's going to be too late to be caring about your soul as you stand before the judgment. And that's going to happen to a lot of people, including some of my brethren who are not living right. Now, you decide who that is. I can't judge others, but the point is, God cares about my soul. Do I? Do you? One more passage before we move on. Let's go to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, we have recorded for us here, as we talk about the soul and how God cares, do we? And I have listed verse 21 and 22. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Look at that last phrase. Which is able to save your soul. Will it save your soul? If you want it to. If you want it to. But that's up to you, right? So regardless, God will always care about your soul. But the question is not what God will do. The question is, what am I doing? Because in verse 22 it tells us, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Sad but true. A lot of people are self-deceived, are they not? Because they don't repent and be baptized and serve God faithfully. God cares. You want to be with me? Here's the blood of my son, my precious son. His precious blood was shed for you. Here's what you do to come into contact with it. And then I say, I'll get around to it later. Isn't that sad? Get around to it later. The precious blood of Jesus. Let's go on to the next point. God cares about our battle. Whether you believe it or not, you're in a battle today. I know we don't pay attention to that because we think battle with literal bullets and someone being brought to the hospital, but it's a spiritual battle. You see, even after one becomes a Christian, they're baptized and raised to walk in newness of life, that's when the battle takes place. Because you see, before you're baptized into Christ, the Satan's already got you. But now that you've become his child, now that you've obeyed the gospel, now that you're concerned about your soul, Satan wants you back to him. And therefore, there comes the battle. 2025, we're in that battle. Let's go to some passages about that. In 2 Peter chapter 2, God understands this. God does not allow us to flounder for ourselves. He sees the problem and gives the solution. You know, it's always interesting to identify a problem, but God gives the solution. So God cares about the battle. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Is God able to deliver us? Well, according to that passage, he is, right? God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Now, it was interesting because if you go back before that, it talks about Lot. A lot of temptation for Lot there while he was in those city, not, but God's able to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto punishment for the day of judgment. So, does God care about my daily existence and the temptations that come my way? Yes. I believe that, don't you? He cares. Turn with me, if you will, to a second passage. The second passage is found in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have recorded for us here, very familiar passage, in verse 13. Again, showing how God cares. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But look at the next phrase. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Notice what it does not say. It didn't say he's going to take away the temptation, did it? Does your Bible say he's going to eliminate the temptation? Look at it. No, it doesn't. If you think it does, you've put that there. God didn't. God didn't say he's going to eliminate the temptation. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. He's going to put the limits on how far you can be tempted. And he won't allow it to go beyond those limits. It says, but you are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. What are we talking about? Look at the chart. God cares about our battle. What is our battle against? Temptations in the flesh, correct? Because if we get caught up in those temptations of the flesh, we're going to lose our soul. So we've got to battle the temptations of the flesh. What's Satan going to do? He's going to put stumbling blocks in our way, is he not? He's going to put those temptations out there. So therefore, we cannot say, I couldn't help myself. You can, because God cares. And God's going to give a way of escape. But here's what we do. We ignore God, get caught up in the temptation, and then we have the audacity to blame God on how miserable our life is. True? Yeah, that's what we do. Now, the temptation was there, and God's going to make a way of escape. But we choose not to follow it sometimes. God cares about the battle I'm in. He cares about my battles, Chuck Cousins, day by day. And he knows that there are going to be temptations there. And he's going to provide a way of escape. He is not going to be allowed. The barrier he's going to put forth, because it's kind of like the barrier around Job. Remember Job and the temptations of Satan? But he put a barrier. One thing Satan couldn't do was take Job's life. So God's put a barrier around us. There's one thing, God will always make a way of escape. It'll never be so much that there's no way of escape. Never can we say, I couldn't help myself. Because you can through God. God cares. He cares about my temptations. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're not going to go into detail. We've had whole lessons on this, but it talks about the gospel armor. Ephesians 6, because we're in a battle. Now, if you don't recognize you're in a battle, time to wake up. Our soul is at stake. And I don't mean to be sarcastic. No preacher alive, no matter how skilled he is in his speaking ability, no preacher alive can put you into heaven. No, only God can, if you follow his way and have the blood of Christ. I don't care if you have 3, 4, 5. I don't care if you have what you consider the best preachers in the Lord's church preaching your funeral. They cannot preach your funeral because guess what? You did it while you lived. And we can't change that. So while we live, what should we do? We should battle temptation God's way. And Ephesians chapter 6, let's read that together. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, and of course you could go all the way down as it talks about the gospel armor, but verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Does God care? Yeah. He's going to give you the strength, is he not? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who's our battle against? The devil. He's going to put those stumbling blocks, right? Oh, did that just apply in the first century, or does that apply today? Applies today, doesn't it? Let's look at the next verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place, heavenly places. Oh, and by the way, that if we don't turn to God, there's no way you can win without him, according to verse 12. You want to win that? You've got to be in Christ. You've got to follow God's way. Then verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And I underline this last phrase in my Bible. Having done all to stand. There's where we slip up, isn't it? Sometimes we don't do all to stand. We kind of pick and choose our battles that we're going to win and lose. Don't do that. Because every battle is important. And every battle you lose is a hindrance to you down the road. So don't do that. Always doing those things. Why? Because God cares. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Here's what it tells us. Gives us one of the things God's Word teaches us. You know, as I study, the older I get, maybe everything's just, I become too simplistic as I get old. It's so simple as you read it, isn't it? You don't have to have a super high education. It's simple to read. It takes all my effort to do. See, there's the difference, to do. Temptations are out there. And like I've told you, those of us who've been in Christ any length of time, the temptations I'm battling today are not the same temptations I battled 25 years ago. But guess what's still out there? Temptation. Right? So it's not a situation, Well, I've come to retirement. Yeah, you come to retirement, but you never retire against temptation. Because if you do, or if I do, we're going to lose our soul. How sad is that? So again, as we look at this, here's one of the ways we avoid temptation. Beloved, verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul. Now, I'm going to just abbreviate it. It's warning you, stay out of circumstances that are going to lead you to sin. Is that what it's teaching? Stay out of circumstances which are going to lead you to sin. Don't put yourself in circumstances, I think I can handle it. If you're in a situation that may lead you to sin, stay away from it. That's what this passage is saying. It's not that hard. But if you don't stay away from it, you might be victorious initially. You might be victorious the second time and the third time. But you keep on doing that, guess what? You're going to fail. You're going to fail. It's only a matter of time. That's why he says, to abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Let's go to another passage. In the book of 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. God cares, so he's given us a way to win. And here, we knew this passage, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, who's our adversary? The devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And again, I know I've told you this. My grandchildren love going to the zoo. And in Illinois, they had a pretty good zoo, and they had lions strolling about. But they were far, not strolling about through the zoo, strolling about where they were far enough from me, where I was pretty brave as I looked at the lions. And I especially enjoyed when the lions were inside because it was too cold outside, because you were closer to them. And you're so brave, aren't you, as you stand behind from that big cage. And think about him not in that cage. Would you choose to be in that room with him? Not I, right? So I've always told Susan, she's always wanted to go to Africa. She's not going to meet her bucket list on that with me. I'm not going to Africa because they are not in cages in Africa. They run loose, as Bob is nodding his head. I don't want to do that. Bob wants to preach in Africa. That's fine. There are souls to be saved in Africa. But thank goodness God doesn't demand that of me. So I'm a child. I don't want to go to Africa. I'll stick where I'm at so I don't have to deal with them. But the reason he uses a lion is, you think about that. You wouldn't walk in the midst of a group of lions. Oh, there's a group of lions out there. Let me go say hi to them. You're foolish. But that's exactly what we do with sin when we don't battle. Now, here's how he says to resist him. It goes on to verse, my God of God. He tells us here in 1 Peter 5, resist him, verse 9, steadfast in what? The faith. Where does faith come from? God's word. You know why we lose the battle to temptation? Our faith doesn't grow like it should. We don't know what God wants of us. And then what happens? Our life makes the turn for the worse. And then what do? We blame God. I make bad choices. I get caught up in sin. There's consequences for the sin. And I'll say, oh God, why did you do this? God didn't do it. You see, God cares about my trials, the battles that I face. He gives us a way to win. And that's why, before I move to the next point, are we taking the battle seriously? 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Brethren, listen to me. We're in the fight today. God cares that you win the battle. But you've got to do it his way. Let's move on. God cares about our life. This has not to do with battle with sin, just life itself. Life can be complicated, can it not? And so, therefore, God cares. God cares about our life. Now, let's go to a few passages about that. And 2 Peter chapter 1. And 2 Peter, so yes, he cares about our soul. Christ died for us. He cares about the battle so we don't lose our soul, so he gives us a pattern to follow. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to what? That pertain to what? To life. What life? The life you're living right now. All things that pertain to life and godliness through how? Through what? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Think about life now. What do we study on Wednesday nights? The Proverbs, correct? Now, if we applied the principles of those Proverbs, would that cause us to lead a better life? Yeah. But a lot of people don't even pay attention to the Proverbs. They think they've got all the answers. You know, it was interesting. When there were a lot of bookstores, I get challenged. I think the only bookstore that now exists is Books A Million. I don't know. But remember, you had Barnes and Nobles and other bookstores, and you'd go into the bookstore, those of us that are older that remember bookstores, and you'd have the self-help books, right? You'd go to the area that is self, and there'd be a big stack of books that you could look at self-help, correct? You know where the best self-help book is? Right here. Right here, the book we're studying. Proverbs, raising children, husbands and wives, how to be a good worker. It's all identified in here. Now, not in those specific terms, but the principles on how we should live. Finances. And I could go on. You see, God has given us a pattern to avoid sin, but he's also given us a pattern on how to live. And then when we screw up our lives because we forget about his pattern, because we just are too smart. Now, I'm not saying you personally, but society. Oh, what? The Bible, that's for Sundays. No, that's for life. That's for us to make good choices in life. Let's go to another passage on that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. God cares. He said, okay, you need someone to save you. I'm going to send my son. He cares about your soul. You're still going to have temptations after you're saved, so I'm going to give a pattern to avoid that. Oh, and by the way, you still have to make choices in life, so I'm going to give you a pattern for that also. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it goes on and states this, as Timothy is instructed concerning how profitable life is going to be. And there it says, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Look at what it says. Having the promise of what? The life that what? Now is. Right? Does you say that? The life that now is? That's life. That's what we're... The life that now is. And of that which is to come. Eternal life. But godliness is profitable in what? The life that now is. Oh, by the way, where do we learn of godliness? In his word. God care? Yes. Wants us to have a good life? Yes. Where's it shown? In his word. God cares about us. In Acts chapter 20, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, we have recorded for us here in Acts chapter 20 as he's talking to the elders of Ephesus. And he tells us in verse 32 as he's going to be leaving them, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's the scriptures, correct? We agree that the word of his grace is the scriptures. Okay, which is able to do what? Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So does God care about our life? Sure he does. Does he give us instructions, not very specific, but general instructions to deal with all the aspects of our life? And yes, he does. But it comes from this book. And that's why I say I close this section with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God cares. cares about my soul, cares about my temptations, cares about my life itself, that I have a life that would be worth living. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. It's being renewed day by day, not just for religious aspects. It's being renewed day by day because I have to live life. And I've got to make those choices that's going to help me. Again, what do we have in the Bible? A lot of passages on the tongue, right? Why do you think that? Because we mess up our lives because we don't control our tongues. I have no filter. Well, it's about time you learn to get one. Because if you have no filter, you're going to have a miserable life. And those around you are going to have miserable lives, correct? So it talks about that. And like I said, it talks about all different aspects of life. But there it is. One more point and the lesson's yours. So he cares about my soul, which is the most important thing. That's eternal. He cares about the temptations I go through. He cares about my life. He wants me to make good decisions. And he shows us how through his word. And God cares about our future, because there is a future. Either a future in heaven or a future in hell. It's your choice, but there is a future. God cares. In fact, it was God who has promised us eternal life. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. So we can never say God doesn't care. The ones who lack caring is us. God always cares. And Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before time began. Now, I've said this many times, I don't apologize to say it again. The promise is only as good as the one who made the promise, correct? Have you ever had some other human beings who have made promises and you just let it go in one ear and out the other? I'll never forget an uncle of mine years ago. I used to love to bowl. Bowling, it used to be a popular sport. I don't know if it is anymore. But I used to love to bowl. And he does, oh, Chuck, I'm going to take you bowling. I'm going to take you bowling. Well, he promised me that. He's been dead and gone for a long time. We never did go bowling together. So the promise is only as good as the one who makes it. The reason I say that, look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Who's making the promise? God. Is he capable of keeping his promise? You better believe he is, right? Who's promised me eternal life? If you promised me eternal life, I wouldn't think too much about it, because you can't guarantee that. But who's promised me eternal life? God has promised me eternal life, right? But let's go on to some other passages. Colossians chapter 1. And we learn about that promise in the gospel that we're studying. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, remember that promise was given by God, Titus 1, 2, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. If I didn't have the gospel, I wouldn't even know about that promise. Because we have the gospel, I am aware of that promise. God has promised me eternal life in heaven. Does your Bible say in heaven? Notice it doesn't promise you eternal life on this earth. In heaven. All right, let's go on. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of... You see that verse 23, away from the hope of the gospel? You might want to make a note, side note. Go back to verse 5. You see, verse 5 explains what the hope of the gospel is. And the hope of the gospel is that I'm going to have a home in heaven, right? So now we know what that hope is. Do not hope of the gospel which you heard and was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So notice, what's the hope of the gospel? Eternal life, Titus 1, 2, in heaven, Colossians 1, 5. You see how we tied that together? God's promised me that. Promised I can have eternal life. As I told you, I've preached for many years. I still can't in my mind grasp the idea of eternal life. You know, when I was 25, I couldn't grasp being 70. Man, when I was 25, I'd look at someone 70 as ancient, that their brain has quit. Well, my brain still hasn't quit, but now I can grasp 70. Can I grasp eternity? Absolutely not, but that's exactly what I'm going to get. Eternal life with God. How wonderful is that? Who's promised it? God. So does God care about my future? Yeah, he sent his son. He gave me a way to be victorious over temptation. And while I live this life on earth, he's given me a pattern to make good decisions so I have a quality life. And then when all is said and done, I get to go home to heaven. As W.C. Hinton used to say when he was alive and a preacher in Illinois, it's a win-win situation. I win now because I'm in Christ, and I ultimately win when I put off my body of flesh, because God cares. Now, do we? In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I hope this has been helpful to you. Kind of selfishly, it's been very helpful to me. You see, I preach to myself, so what you're getting is for me. I hope it's for you too. I hope you can see this. I hope that when we come together for the sermon portion of our lessons, it's not like one definition said, sermon, long, tedious speech. I hope that's not how you view a sermon, as a long, tedious speech. I hope you view it that we're looking at God's Word on how to be better Christians. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it states this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call." Oh, the whose call? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you're a child of God, don't quit pressing. You press till you breathe your last breath, and then God will give you what he's promised you. And if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, it's about time to enter the race. It's about time that God cares about you. Jesus died for you. Why not receive his blood by being baptized for the remission of your sins and then being faithful? But here's what I know. If you don't get nothing else out of this lesson, I remember two things. I want you to remember two things. God cares. Do you? As we stand. And as we say.